Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And isn't it a good morning? A lovely sunny morning. How thankful we are for all the Lord's mercies. We appreciate good sunny mornings when we have had dull, wet, cold mornings. So, even cold, wet mornings have a purpose. They make us enjoy good mornings all the more. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read just the opening verses of the parable, just to remind you. Verse 28, Matthew 21. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now we have been thinking of what it's like to serve the Lord, working in his vineyard. The picture here of the church and of working for God is one of working in a vineyard. And we have thought about what that entails and the pleasures and the joys that one can imagine there is in a vineyard. Now, there's plenty of hard work, but there are pleasures and joys that lighten the burden, and we have been considering those. We also thought that the one we're working for pays very good wages, and I told you the last time we were together that he doesn't just pay you once, but he pays you twice. He pays you while you're working, and then there is a future day of reward. No, we can't even begin to measure the greatness of the reward for the child of God that will come in eternity. Now, the thought of these things, and here's why we meditate upon them, the thought of what lies ahead is a help to us. And there is set before us in the scriptures a number of things that spring from our meditation upon the eternal rewards that await us in heaven. At this time of the year, we're halfway through May. We're nearly at the end of May, which means we have only June to go. And at the end of June, holidays. Now, you're beginning to think about them. As soon as I mentioned the word holiday, you all began to smile. And as you think about your holidays, it makes today that little bit easier. You sort of rub your hands and say, it'll not be long until the holidays. And that brightens you up. That encourages you. That gives you some joy. Well, it's the same with the Christian. When we begin to think about heaven, then it lightens our burdens. Listen to these verses just that illustrate what I'm saying. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 17. Where Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now what's he saying? He's saying, and you can see how his very words are framed as a result of what it is he's thinking about. Paul went through many afflictions. He went through afflictions probably much greater than by far the most of us. Paul went through terrible afflictions and burdens and trials and troubles. But he speaks of them as a light affliction. What is it makes him think of them as light? What is it that makes him speak about the burdens, the terrible burdens, the terrible affliction that he went through as a light affliction? It was what he was about to say. Because he says, you see, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. He's thinking of heaven. And as he thinks of heaven, the troubles that he was passing through grew smaller. They grew lighter as a result of thinking about what awaited him in heaven. That's why it's always good to meditate, to read what God has to say about heaven. And let me tell you, he says a lot about heaven. It's not a mystery. To the world it's a mystery. The world doesn't know what lies beyond the grave. And by far, they deceive themselves. You will find today as you grow older that everybody, no matter what their religious views or lack of religious views, they all think they're going to heaven. Whereas the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there's only some going to heaven, those who are born again, those who are saved. Don't you think you're going to heaven unless you're saved? You're not. You're on the road to everlasting misery and shame and suffering. Unless you're born again. Oh, that you would think about this today. But if you are born again and you begin to think about heaven, as you should, you'll find the world becomes a brighter place. You're able to deal with all the difficulties you're running into with a smile because of what lies ahead. Here's another verse. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, the verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, Peter is speaking to people going through deep trouble. He talks about a fiery trial. That's what they were passing through. But he says, as you're going through this fire, rejoice. Why? Because if you're suffering, and suffering because you're a Christian, then there awaits you, as he puts it here, glory. Christ's glory shall be revealed, and we shall be glad with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. In other words, it's joy beyond our understanding, our comprehending. That's what lies ahead for the child of God. Are you saved today? Is that where you're going? The exceeding joy? Oh, I hope it is. And as you think about that as a Christian, you're able to rejoice in the middle of fire. We mentioned, it's a number of assemblies ago, of those who suffered for Christ, oftentimes being burned in a fire as martyrs. And yet in that fire they prayed, they rejoiced, they sang. How did they do that? I'm sure that one of the things that enabled them to sing in such a fashion was the breaking in upon their hearts the fact, the truth, that these flames, while destroying their bodies and bringing suffering to them, would also carry them to heaven. Their life would soon end as a result of these flames, and ending, they would be brought into the presence of Christ. And that's what made them sing. Oh, boys and girls, you too will sing if the truth of heaven dawns upon your heart and you meditate upon it. One other thing, and the same theme, and it's toward the end of the little book of Jude, the verse 24 of Jude, where the writer says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You will find in the epistle of Jude and in the epistle of Peter a lot of phrases that are similar. And here again we have this exceeding joy spoken of. Peter had mentioned it. I read it out to you in 1 Peter 4:13. Now here's Jude speaking of it. And he says that we're going to be presented before God one day with exceeding joy. And we're going to be presented before God because he is able to keep us from falling. Isn't that good to know? One thing that troubles a Christian oftentimes is, will I be able to go on? Will I go astray? Will I fall away? Will I depart? Well, here's comfort. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, if you feel like falling, if you feel you're stumbling, you only have to look to the Lord. You only have to ask the Lord and cry on him, and he will draw near to you. Among the very last words that the Lord Jesus spoke to his church through his word are recorded for us in Revelation chapter 22. That's the last book of the Bible and the last chapter of that book. And here's what he says. And behold, I come quickly. That's important. Quickly. The Lord is coming quickly. We might feel it's a long time, but he is coming quickly. And my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. My reward is with me. The Savior is coming with rewards for his people. I want you to notice what he says, to give to every man according to his work. Now, we could read there, to every man, to every woman, to every girl, and to every boy, according to his work. What works are you doing today? Are you working for the Lord? Or are you working for yourself? Are you doing your own thing? Are you following your own devices? You're not in the least interested in what it is the Lord has to say to you. You dismiss what he says, what the preacher says. Not interested. All right, your reward will be according to that. And of course, there will be those, and it will be the reward of judgment that's coming. But if you're saved today, if you're saved today, the Savior is coming with blessing and reward for his people. Heaven is a glorious land. We were thinking of the hymn of the home over there. And what a thing it is to think of the home over there. And heaven is a land in which we will forever. None of us can ever bring into our minds what that word means in its fullness. I remember thinking of it as if I were standing at the seashore and watching the waves coming in, one after another. And I've been doing that for hundreds, thousands of years, coming in one after another. I thought to myself, well, that's like eternity. The years of eternity will continue and continue and continue and continue and continue. Forever, forever. And heaven is a place where we will enjoy forever the mercies, the blessings that spring from working for the Savior. The labors in the vineyard, what a reward they will bring. And because of that, because there is such a reward, we can understand why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's just been talking about the resurrection and talking about the change that will come to the Christian when the Savior returns and raises his people from the grave. And he's been speaking of the glorious things that will happen then. And out of that, he concludes, therefore, because these things will happen, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. If we have such rewards coming, then what an encouragement it is to be faithful laborers. Matthew 25, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's there at this very moment. At this moment, the kingdom is there. It's prepared from the foundations of the world. It's as old as the world. As long as the world has been, so has been the reward that awaits us. Oh, you needn't think perhaps when eternity comes, there'll be no reward. Oh, no, it's already there, waiting for us. One day, the Savior will say to his people, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit. The kingdom prepared, made ready for you. Oh, to think about that. It's so important. Now, we return, as it were, to the immediate context of the parable. We've been thinking this last few assemblies, you see, about what it is to labor in the vineyard, the joys, the rewards, the benefits, the blessings. I've been trying to stress to you that serving the Lord is a blessed thing. Serving the Lord is a happy thing. All the propaganda of the devil and the world is directed at telling us serving God is a waste of time. Serving God is a miserable thing. Serving God, you throw your life away. Forget about it. Get out there and sin. Get out there into the world. That's where pleasure is. That's the lie of the devil. There's a reward for serving sin. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. That's what hell is. Eternal death. Everlasting death. Death that continues. So the devil's a liar. It's only in serving God that you will come upon rewards and blessings that are good. I've been striving to press this home upon you. Now we return to the actual words of the parable. Go work in my vineyard. Well, that gave rise to all that I had to say about serving God in his vineyard. Now we want to come to the response of the two sons. You see, boys and girls, all these rewards and joys and pleasures and comforts and helps that I have been speaking about, they belong to those who obey, only to those who obey. And the Savior is pressing home upon the people the need of obeying the gospel. And he does so by telling this story. Two sons, their father says to them, go work today in my vineyard. Then we have the response of these two sons. And I'm not going to start today on that particular topic. That'll follow next week. But I want you to think about it. I want you to think that while the two responses seemed very different, one said, I go. The other said, I'll not go. In actual fact, both of them had the same attitude to their father. One openly said, no, I'll not. The other deceitfully, falsely said, oh, I'll go. But he didn't. So both of them were refusing their father's command. That's what we're all like by nature. That's how we're all born. Every one of us. Rebels against God. I want you to think about whether or not you're still a rebel against God. One of them changed. One of them said, no, I'm not. But then sometime later, changed his mind. Have you changed your mind? Have you said it's wrong to rebel against God? I want to obey God. I'll obey the gospel. I'll heed the Savior. May God help you to do just that. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write your word on hearts today. Looking on the children, Lord, and upon their countenances, we feel our own helplessness. If ever there was a people, a congregation, Lord, that we could expect to exert some influence over, surely it would be upon children. And yet, Lord, we know we can exert no influence over their hearts of ourselves. But I pray, O God, that today thou wilt work. And if there's one heart not yet yielded to God, then work in that heart, I pray. Bless our school today. Remember the children in the exam even at this time. Undertake for every activity within the walls of the school during the school day. Keep all safe for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.